And greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Wainihau. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour. Guten Tag. Salam. Shalom. Peace. From the entertainment capital of the nuclear-powered chicken nugget pharmaceutical center of the world, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the planet's first and only commercial vegan radio show. Have you checked your Chase calendar of events? Vegan World Day is upon us again, the first day of summer, the day of most light, when you are asked to live, if you're not a vegan, just live one day as a vegan. Walk in the shoes of a vegan for just one day. And of course, those shoes would not be leather. And the menu for the day, completely vegetarian. You'll be surprised at how delicious it is. A day where you don't eat or wear animals. Vegan World Day, the first day of summer. And in return, well, the animals won't eat or wear you. Fair enough trade. Although, darling, with that skin tone, you would make a wonderful pair of moccasins. And then again, I hear that you taste a lot like chicken, so, but no matter. With a little barbecue sauce, wonders, huh? Hey, put on your calendar a veggie queue, fun for you and your friends. Bring the family to the Midsummer Day's Dream of Peace veggie queue, a benefit for GoVeganRadio.com. Live music, free vegan food, speakers on subjects of importance to animals and children and nature, activism, networking, fundraising opportunities. It's a benefit for this here radio show, a project of 501c3 International Humanities Center. A suggested donation of $5 or $10 would do, I'm sure. I'll be emceeing. We'll be screening the new PETA video, which is Chew on This. We will also screen the wonderful new documentary, Peaceable Kingdom, from Tribe of Heart, the filmmakers who gave us The Witness. Please, you must attend. More info in the weeks ahead. It's Saturday afternoon, July 31st, noon to 5. It's kind of a matinee day at the Venice United Methodist Church on Lincoln at Victoria in Venice. That location is known as a gathering place of for peace activism and arts in the community. So Saturday afternoon, July 31st, noon to 5 at the Venice United Methodist Church on Lincoln at Victoria in Venice. Come as a meat eater, leave as a vegan. The same can be said for a big gathering in Los Angeles next weekend, June 26th and 27th. Also, coincidentally, in Venice, at Venice High School. It's PETA's Helping Animals 101. PETA founder and president Ingrid Newkirk will be speaking there. And actually, if you register online today or tomorrow, you can bring a guest for free, two for the price of one. And in just a little bit, we'll also talk to PETA's National Coordinator for Helping Animals 101, Sarah Winslow. Bruce Friedrich, Director of Vegan Campaigns for PETA, was supposed to be a guest on today's show, but has gotten sucked into one of those pseudo-reality TV shows in which we are all destined eventually to make an appearance. I almost had a shot at the last Ted Nugent, Surviving Nuge. I called in. I fit all the qualifications, animal rights activist. I've been arrested for it, etc. But I was a little out of the age group that they sought. So, and then the producer said, well, we'll keep you in mind, you know, the next time we're casting for Survivor, like there's anything I would ever eat on Survivor. And I'd never survive Survivor, considering, you know, what would we be eating? Turtle eyeballs or whatever? Anyway, but we will find out why Bruce is not here and what he's up to. We'll have that animal American Idol on in the near future to talk about this Showtime show. Today, though, we will talk to Alka Chandna, another speaker for Peter at Helping Animals 101. So she'll be speaking to us, as will be Jim Hudnell, who will update us on new threats against our beloved La Jolla seals. New threats from the San Diego City Government. Save our seals. We'll tell you how and what you must do. Have paper and pen handy today so you can make sure that your San Diego City Council doesn't do the wrong thing, doesn't treat those seals, you know, doesn't treat them like dogs, huh? And I always wonder, as I do with seals and, you know, if other species, if we treat our best friends like dogs, what chance do other species have anyway? That was the big quote in the news this past week, the quote from the general in charge of the that brutal prison in Baghdad. What did I do with that quote? I'm sure I had it here, right? Wasn't it, Iraq's so dangerous, dogs of war. Wait a second here. I have that page here, don't I? Okay, well, anyway. Oh, here it is. Okay, the last place I would look. Well, of course, it's the last place. Why would I go on looking after the last place when I find it? So it says, the American general who was in charge of the notorious Abu Ghraib prison near Baghdad says she was once told by a superior to treat Iraqi prisoners, quote, like dogs. General Karpinski told the BBC that Major General Jeffrey Miller, the deputy commander for detainee operations in Iraq, who had also been chief jailer at the U.S. prison camp at Guantanamo Bay, and didn't he also run L.A. County Jail for a while? No, I don't think it was L.A. County Jail. That was during a visit last year. She said he told her that detainees had to be dominated. Quote, they are like dogs, and if you allow them to believe at any point that they are more than a dog, then you've lost control of them, end quote, she recalled General Miller saying. And I always thought that treating like a dog was like with hugs and petting and patting and scratching. But kind of concerns me because there are so many dogs in the military serving actually more valiantly and longer than George W. Bush ever did. Are they being treated like dogs, the dogs in the military? Are they chained? Are they in isolation? Are they threatened? Are they beaten? These wonderful dogs that are now recruited to serve. I have a couple of articles here, one from National Geographic. It says, since the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center, the U.S. security forces have stepped up efforts to train and deploy explosive detection dogs. Last year, about 350 canines, nearly double the regular intake, went through a five-month-long training program at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas, where I was the program director of Star 106 many years ago. Anyway, it says the base is the only facility in the country that trains dogs for the U.S. Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps. Canines are dual certified in explosive detection and patrol, which means they will attack on command or to protect themselves or their handler. After training, they are posted to military installations worldwide. Right now, bomb-detecting dogs are being used by coalition forces in the Iraq War. Details, though, on how many canine teams are in the Middle East and what kind of work they are doing are secret because of security concerns. Of course, there are security concerns over actually who is the vice president of the country? Who is the president? They're all secrecy going on right now, huh? Anyway, there was a Major Frank Schedelli, commander of the 341st Training Squadron, which procures and trains all military working dogs and explosive detection dogs. And he said they're not being used in direct combat situations. Instead, they might be used at points of entry or for VIP sweeps where buildings and cars are searched for bombs before dignitaries arrive. He said, on average, these four-footed soldiers are 98% accurate in their detection abilities, he said, and depending on the task and climate, can work up to 12 hours a day What, in that kind of heat? Belgian Malinois and German Shepherds are used because they are intense, intelligent, and known for their ability to work hard. It says here, at first glance, a Malinois might be mistaken for a German Shepherd. Both breeds are the same size and have similar coat colorings and markings. And so he talks about the 100-day training program at Lackland. Said the dogs are worked 5 days a week using repetition and reward system. As a reward, they're given a ball or rubber chew toy. So, well, that's the way you get dogs to attack and be mean and be vicious. It didn't work for me, for my little runty, my companion for 15 years, my cross between Labrador and Golden Retriever. I told him, you know, whenever the neighbor turns on that the leaf blower, please attack Runty. Here's a little ball. Here's a chew toy. But it never quite got that intense response out of Runty. I'm sure there's a little more intense training going on here by the army than is being mentioned here. Basically the dogs are used because of their sense of smell. The number of smell receptors in a human's nose ranges from 5 million to 15 million, whereas in a dog it can range from 125 million to 250 million. So talks about that there, and it says a man's best friend has faithfully served in war since 1939 as scouts, sentries, messengers, and much more. During Vietnam, the United States War Dogs Association estimates these brave animals and their handlers saved more than 10,000 lives, it says in this National Geographic article. It says, but the country hasn't always shown its gratitude. For decades, veteran dogs deemed too old to serve, which is 10 years and older, those dogs were, well, here's your Purple Heart, here's your medal. They're euthanized at 10 years. It says it's starting to change thanks to a law passed in 2000 which allows retired military dogs to be adopted by their current or former handlers, law enforcement agencies, or individuals capable of caring for them. So that was what he was talking about there. Let me see here, anything else in this article that seems to make sense. The other thing was that from KTVU, it said that Iraq is so dangerous that the military dogs are wearing Kevlar vests themselves. And it says on dangerous missions, they strap on a bulletproof vest around the furry chest of the bomb-sniffing dogs. And let's see here. The U.S. Army has some 30 dogs in Iraq guarding bases and checking cars, and they're wearing the belts. And let's see, the tan and green camouflage vest covers the body, leaving the head, neck, and hind legs exposed. Originally, the vests were 15 pounds, and the dogs didn't like them. They're 7 pounds now. The dogs still don't like them, but that's our loving, loyal, wonderful dogs. I hope they're not getting treated like dogs. Not that our civilian dogs have it so great either sometimes, for being our best friends with tens of thousands of unwanted, homeless, orphaned, healthy, and adoptable dogs murdered in so-called shelters because their guardians didn't care enough to spay or neuter, or they didn't care enough to adopt. Instead, they bought from a breeder. And then don't lose your dog in Sacramento County, because the shelter there might sell your dog to animal research. And there, she certainly would be treated like a dog. Like in labs all around the country, like that dungeon of horrors, Huntington Life Sciences in New Jersey, with undercover footage of workers treating baby beagle puppies like dogs, punching them in the face. Don't worry, research workers there don't have to listen to the dogs scream. They cut their vocal cords so they can't bark, and then they're just, you know, treated like dogs. Dogs are on the menu in stews in Korea, and what a surprise. What a surprise for hot dog eaters in Europe this past week when it was discovered that 40,000 pounds of hot dogs from a meatpacking plant in Belgium, well, they... Truth in advertising. They were literally hot dogs. Oh, gross. Eating dogs. Yes, those hot dogs were made out of dogs. What, a little too gamey for your refined taste for other species' corpses? But there's dog in your food chain, too. You know, those euthanized dogs from shelters go to the rendering plant and then into feed, winding up in the feed of the animals you eat. Now, I don't say all of this just because I want at least one honest notation on my resume, like...
I know, and you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
No, I say this because with Vegan World Day, the first day of summer, the day of most light, maybe someday when we say he treats her like a dog, affection and pampering are implied. He treats her like a cow. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? She treats him like a pig. Wouldn't it be great if kindness were implied in that treatment? If I treat someone like a pig, she's probably well-fed and scratched around the ears. I don't know. There are lots of dog lovers in the world where treating someone like a dog wouldn't mean, you know, like a dog food company like Iams conducting lethal experiments on dogs. Aren't they supposed to provide nutrition for our loved ones? It wouldn't mean that someone like LaShawn Johnson, put that article somewhere. LaShawn Johnson, yeah, former college All-American and player for the NFL's New York Giants, Green Bay Packers, and Arizona Cardinals, was charged with racketeering and conspiracy a couple of weeks ago for alleged involvement in a ring that held pit bull dogfights and betting on the outcome. Felony dogfighting in Oklahoma is punishable up to 10 years in prison. I guess he was treating dogs, you know, like dogs. Anyway, someday, maybe, when we treat animals like animals, we will imply care and affection. Someday, maybe Vegan World Day for you when you decide to make your menu cruelty-free and eat vegetarian only. Okay, we will continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. We have representatives from PETA on the way, Sarah Winslow, Alka Chandler, and also we will be discussing the plight of the La Jolla seals. Please send in your tax-deductible donation. We'll talk more about that later. I know you didn't send it in last week because nobody did, huh? And right now, all these pledge drives are going on. KPFK has its pledge drive with thousands of listener subscribers and public radio and PBS all, you know, begging for money. And this show needs money, too. Maybe this year you don't want to give your money to KCET because it has sold out to the corporate media and has McDonald's sponsored children's programming, Chuck E. Cheese sponsored children's programming, up Chuck E. Cheese, and commercials saying, oh, McDonald's is a great place for a birthday party. What has KCET become, huh? So don't send your donations to them. Send them to Go Vegan. Make it payable to Go Vegan. It's tax deductible. And you can mail it to P.O. Box 220025, Newhall, California, 91322.
Going vegan just got easier. Presenting Follow Your Heart Chicken Free Chicken. Now at natural food stores everywhere. All the taste, none of the bird. Vegan, low fat, low sodium, cholesterol free chicken from Follow Your Heart. 11 grams of protein per 2.5 ounce serving. Ready to serve, delicious hot or cold, like on a sandwich with new organic veggies. You are what you eat. Don't be chicken. Try Chicken Free Chicken. Get some at Follow Your Heart on Sherman Way, a block and a half east of Topanga, Canoga Park, and natural food stores everywhere.
I'm a steer, and they're steering you wrong. Listen now.
I'm a cow.
'Cause I don't have long. Our
sweet backside
would like to stay together. We don't want to be your leather.
Won't you show me some love? Don't you make me kid glove.
Or a jacket or a shoe, 'cause my skin ain't for you.
Do I make myself clear? Keep your hands off my rear.
I want to tell you about a restaurant that is an absolute delight. It is Vegetable Delight Restaurant in Granada Hills, 17823 Chatsworth Street. Weekday lunch specials, 150 menu items there. You know, over the centuries, Buddhist monks have perfected the art of vegetarian cooking and replicating the tastes and textures and flavors of meat so that you sacrifice nothing and no one gets sacrificed in the process. So you can enjoy chicken and fish and beef and all of those kinds of flavors and textures without any animals. So you'll love it. It's delicious, too. Vegetable Delight Restaurant. And you can book your special events and parties, group outings, especially welcome on weekends, especially welcome on Sundays. In fact, what are you doing tonight? Tonight, head on over to Vegetable Delight. You will love it. 17823 Chatsworth Street, Granada Hills, 818-360-3997.
Mad cow, bird flu. Which one is killing you?
From Millennium Products, the family business that began bottling kombucha in 1995 after it helped their mom survive breast cancer, an invitation for you to enjoy the healing, healthful, detoxifying benefits of kombucha in a variety of flavorful, organic, raw vegan beverages. This handcrafted, cultured Chinese elixir brings you essential nutrients like active enzymes, amino acids, antioxidants, vitamins, and especially attractive to us vegans who are often frustrated by the presence of dairy in probiotic products. You get 2 billion non-dairy-based viable probiotics, known to strengthen the immune system, stimulate metabolism, detox, and importantly, alkalize the body. We know the ill effects of an acidic body. So check it out. Read all about it right on the label on GT's Kombucha and Synergy Elixirs in the fridge at your natural market, or on the website, naturezone.net. Organic, vegan, raw, refreshing, no sugar, no corn syrup, no caffeine, never pasteurized, tasty, tangy. Look for GT's Kombucha in 3 flavors and Synergy 95% kombucha with a twist of juice.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
And that it is, the planet's first and only commercial vegan radio show. And today we will be talking, well, a little bit later on in the hour, we'll be talking about the plight of the La Jolla seals and what we can do to save our wild San Diego treasure. But right now, we look forward to an event that's happening in the Los Angeles area next Saturday and Sunday at Venice High School. It's Helping Animals 101. A big two-day event with PETA. And on the line, we have a couple of spokespersons from PETA. Sarah Winslow was the national coordinator for Helping Animals 101. And hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Bob?
Great. Great to have you here today.
And, thank you.
We're looking forward to next week's Helping Animals 101. What can our listeners and what can attendees expect from this two-day extravaganza?
Well, I think they can expect, most of all, to get the latest information about our current campaigns, but most importantly, to learn specific skills and tools to put that knowledge to good use wherever they live. A lot of people know about the cruelty that animals go through to be used for food or on factory farms, for their skins, in circuses, even companion animals, as you were talking about earlier. And so many people see that cruelty but don't know what to do about it. So really the purpose of this weekend is to empower people to get active in their communities and to take advantage of the myriad of opportunities that you have to make a real difference in the world.
And this is the first time we've had Helping Animals 101 in the Los Angeles area, and it's been in different cities around the country. And what has the reaction been from attendees?
The reaction has been amazing. Whether we go to Oklahoma City, which a lot of people don't expect to be a really animal-friendly town, or we go to Detroit, a bigger, more metropolitan area, people are excited to meet other people who feel the same way that they do about animal rights. People are happy to get the information and the resources that we have available to them. It's been a really good reaction so far, and we've seen increased activism in all of the cities that we've been to.
Excellent. Well, this is a gathering for activists and a great networking opportunity also. And who might be speaking at this event? This is next Saturday and Sunday at Venice High School.
It is next Saturday and Sunday at Venice High School, and it's not too late to register. You can register online at helpinganimals101.com. Or you can just shoot me an email at, it's Sarah, S-A-R-A-H-W, at PETA.org. So just Sarah W at PETA.org. And I'd be happy to sign anybody up for the conference.
I know I will be there.
Yay! It'll be exciting to finally meet you.
Oh yeah, that'll be great. You'll find me by the food.
By the food, yes. Well, I try to keep away from the food as much as possible. Amazing.
Well, then we may not see each other then if you're going to do that.
I'll come seek you out at some point.
Okay, yes.
We'll have to eat. You mentioned earlier that Ingrid Newkirk will be speaking. She'll be giving a talk on Animal Rights 101. What is animal rights? What's the basis of our movement?
And Ingrid Newkirk is the founder and president of PETA, and is really a modern day saint. She really is. I mean, you know,
I agree. Completely.
Yeah, I mean, it's true.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I mean, I think just for that, just to come out and hear a modern day saint. I mean, it makes it worth it.
She has done amazing things for animals all over the world, from India to every corner of the U.S. And
well, her mother worked with Mother Teresa, so that's where she learned about caring for people, for animals, you know? So.
It's true. She is one of the most caring persons I've ever met in my life.
Mm-hmm. And she was a normal person, too. I mean, people think, oh, we're these, you know, animal-hugging, you know, hippies and everything, but Ingrid was in law enforcement. She's interested in NASCAR, you know? I mean, just like...
No. I should correct you right there.
Oh, really?
She
what?
Would be very angry.
Not
NASCAR, but Formula One.
Oh, like I know the difference. Okay, I won't say it next week then to offend her. Not
oh
like,
no, don't.
Like I know
I'll
the difference.
I'll tell you straight now.
Okay, like I would know the difference, but okay.
But just pretend like you do.
Okay. Oh yeah. All right. So yes. Yeah.
So just Ingrid, it. You'll figure it out.
Ingrid will be speaking. Who? I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, that's perfectly fine. Ingrid will be speaking. We'll also have my colleague Alka Channa, who's on the line with us today.
Hi, Alka.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks. It's nice to hear your voice.
Oh, it's nice to speak to you again. Now, is Bruce Friedrich going to be here, or is he going to be involved with the TV show still?
Well, sadly, his commitment will continue till the time that we're going to be in L.A., so he'll miss the Helping Animals 101, mm-hmm. which I know all of us are disappointed about. But
well, they're disappointed he's not on the show today, too, but fill people in on what Bruce is up to right now.
Sure, it's all so exciting. Well, we learned about this reality television show, and of course, all Americans are, you know, just glued to these reality TV shows. This one, unlike Survivor, where they ask you to, you know, eat animals and animals that people generally don't eat.
Finally a reality show where vegans can be on because they don't have to eat.
Precisely.
Right? Okay. Yeah.
This is a perfect place for a vegan to be on because. It's a show called American Candidate, and what had happened was that people were invited to apply. Bruce tossed his name into the ring, and it was a pretty strenuous, multi-tiered application process involving, you know, it was a 50-page application. He had to produce a video, which was submitted. Then there were 4 days of interviews in Los Angeles, and he beat out thousands of other applicants to be one of 12 contestants who were selected to be on the show.
And they are contestants for what?
This show is, it's called American Candidate, and basically all of these contestants are doing sort of a mock campaign to be the American president. And so
I thought Bush was doing a mock campaign to be the American president.
Well, it's, you know, it is. It is a total role reversal here of reality and television.
Right. If we had elections...
The corporations pull the strings for the quote-unquote real... candidates.
Sure.
What we've got here are people who are interested in issues and, you know, helping animals and helping people and helping the environment. And so Bruce is in with 12 other folks pushing the message forward and using this platform with a national television audience to get the animal rights message out there, which is, you know, really unprecedented.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, a reality show talking about real elections. That's are you sure it's a reality show still?
it's very interesting. And, you know, Bob, the person who wins this contest, who becomes the American candidate, wins, among other things, $200,000, which Bruce has already pledged to donate in its entirety to animal and human rights organizations.
Have I told you that GoVeganRadio.com is a nonprofit? Does Bruce know that?
You are definitely at the top of our list.
I can get him votes, too.
Well, people can find out how they can help by going over to votebruce.org. It's votebruce, one word, .org.
Mm-hmm.
And people can keep abreast of where Bruce is, how the campaign is going, learn about his platforms, which, you know, they might be interested in knowing, and see what's been going on.
And there's also a website for the show, right? It's AmericanCandidate.com?
That's right. And there's a link from VoteBruce.org to American Candidates so they can see who the other candidates are.
And do viewers actually, they vote online? Is that correct? Or am I?
Well, there is that component, but what's really going on...
I'm trying to fix the election now, if possible.
Well, I think we've got really good chances. We're all very, very optimistic, as everyone knows. I mean, Bruce has been up against, you know, the worst of them, and can speak very articulately about animal rights, the importance of veganism, you know, why we're winning, and all of these sorts of things. He's an inspirational speaker. He's a great guy and a person of integrity and compassion.
So obviously he can't get elected, but
it's a concern.
But at least he can run, you know, like Kucinich, you know, what a great candidate he was, but too good actually, you know. So and this is a Showtime show that he's going
exactly
to be.
Yeah, and okay. It's going to begin airing August 1st, and there are going to be 8 episodes.
Oh wow. August 1st on Showtime, The American Candidate. One of ours is running. It's Bruce Friedrich, so let's support him in the campaign. Now Elke, you're speaking next week at Helping Animals 101.
Yeah, we're all so excited about going to beautiful LA and meeting with lots of activists out there.
Yes, and do you have a subject in mind yourself that you cover?
Yeah, well, I give 4 talks at these Helping Animals 101 conferences. I am a real foodie, I'm afraid. I will see you at the food table. So one of my talks is called Veg in the Kitchen, and basically that describes how easy it is to be vegan these days, the great plethora of foods that are out there, to make it convenient, easy, to be vegan, you know, the fact that we don't have to give up anything in the way of taste or texture to go vegan, as I'm sure many of your listeners are perfectly aware.
Right.
So we do sort of a show and tell of all these great products that are out there, and it's fun. And then, of course, people get to sample these at the breakfast, lunch, and dinners that we have. We just an amazing variety of foods, as Sarah alluded to earlier, but we have a lot of wonderful faux meat and faux dairy products, like barbecue meatball sandwiches. We serve faux fried chicken, a polenta with an herb tofu. And for all of those desserties out there like me, we have chocolate brownies, chocolate tofu pie, really decadent, wonderful stuff. And also a lot of, you know, fresh, healthful fare for people who are lightening their forks. But of course, all of the food is cholesterol and cruelty free. So that's one of the talks that I give.
Right. It's all vegan. Okay. So, and Sarah, so anything else going on at the conference we should know about? We probably have another minute or so here.
Absolutely. Even if people can't join us at the actual conference, which I would really encourage people to drop everything and do, they should definitely plan to come out to the KFC demonstration that we'll be having on Monday, June 28th at noon. And that demonstration, if I can give the address real quick, will be at 12350 Washington Place in Los Angeles, California. It's 12350 Washington Place in Los Angeles. And if they'd like, they can just meet us at Venice High School at 11 a.m. on Monday, June 28th for the demonstration. It's an amazing experience to be with so many activists at a demo, chanting and holding signs and seeing how easy it is to really turn people away, literally, from the restaurant. And change their lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, this for some people, this might be their first demo ever, right?
For a lot of people, it's their first demo ever. And happily, what we hear is that people, after we leave the town, are going out and organizing and doing their own demonstrations months and months afterwards or the next week. It's just really an amazing, amazing experience.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting my future cellmates.
I'm looking forward to meeting you as well.
Oh, well, great. I'm looking forward to it. So people can register online.
Online at Helping Animals 101, or just send me an email, sarahw@peta.org.
Okay. And from what I understand, register online through tomorrow, and it's 2 for the price of 1.
That's correct, yes.
Excellent. Okay. Well, great. I'm looking forward to seeing both of you there. So look forward to Sarah Winslow and Elke Chandler being at Helping Animals 101. I hope you will be, too. It's the place to be next weekend, Venice High School, and go to helpinganimals101.com. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you in Poison next week.
Great. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being here. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, we will continue momentarily on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And, Bruce is going to come into a couple $100,000 there. I got to be nice to him. Perhaps he'd like to be a guest commentator every week, huh? A commentator. That would be cool. So $200,000, that would buy many weeks of this show. Now, you know, I can't put a whole show into asking for money like KPFK can, or your NPR stations. And, you know, didn't NPR, was it NPR or public radio, or that gave like a Man of the Year award or something to Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska? Like this huge enemy to animals and the environment. That's what they're about now. So I suggest that you divert some of those donations to the planet's first and only commercial vegan radio show. Or, you know, if not, you know, there'll be a show with a McDonald's commercial on here next time you tune in. Huh? If you're involved with an animal rights group, vegetarian organization, you have a printing job to do, you can get an extra special discount that comes your way from Shalom Printing. Shalom Printing at AOL.com in Sherman Oaks on Ventura Boulevard, just east of the 405 at Noble. So make sure you check them out. Weeks ahead here. Next week we have Tom Reagan on the June 27th show, philosophical voice of the animal rights movement for many decades. The July 11th show, look for Rin Berry talking about Hitler, neither vegetarian nor animal lover. Okay? Let's see here. We talked about... you can support the airing of Go Vegan actually without any extra out-of-pocket expense. You are already paying monthly bills for local and long-distance telephone and gas and electric and internet. You can switch by contacting Project ACN, where ACN stands for Animals, Children, and Nature, and a portion of your bills will go towards supporting this show, helping homeless animals, and other causes that concern you. Plus, you'll enjoy very competitive rates. Please call 310-985-HELP, 310-985-4357. Los Angeles County Bar Association Animal Issues Committee is presenting a compelling MCLE program, Food, Animals, and the Law. That's coming up this Thursday, which is June 24th, 5:30 to 9 p.m. So check it out. You got Gene Bouston there of Farm Sanctuary, a number of legal entities who are working on behalf of animals, like one who's the lead counsel in a false advertising challenge to the California Milk Advisory Board's Happy Cows campaign, currently pending in the First District Court of Appeal. Very interesting. June 24th, this Thursday, the conference is at, show up 5:30, 6 o'clock at the L.A. County Bar Association LexisNexis Conference Center, 281 South Figueroa in Los Angeles. Let me see now. Time for animal news and views, probably. Why not? Why not? Okay. Let's see what we got here. All right. I told you about the hot dogs already in Europe, right? A couple of directors of a Belgian meat wholesaler have been arrested after dog meat was found in hot dogs. Why would that be a surprise? They were just trying to give an honest product, right? Let's see. We have we're facing so many potential extinctions in the world at the moment, animals under attack. One of those being the Australian koala. A Reuters report says koalas, the iconic symbol of Australia, face extinction as rapid urbanization along the eastern seaboard destroys their fragile habitat. That is a problem being faced by the koalas. Animal rights, this is from the Star Ledger, New Jersey. It says animal rights activists deny targeting lab. Seven animal rights activists pleaded not guilty this past week to charges that they promoted violence and vandalism against the research company that tests chemicals on thousands of animals at a New Jersey lab each year. The 10-minute arraignment drew about 30 protesters to the federal courthouse in Trenton and prompted the U.S. Marshal's Office to heighten security because, you know, those animal rights people, if they hand you a flyer, you could get a paper cut. So we have to heighten security, which they did around the building. But the demonstration was peaceful. And the court proceeding ended without incident. The defendants, members of the group Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty, were indicted last month on charges of conspiring to commit animal enterprise terrorism. Oh, well, hey, arrest me for this show, huh? This show is animal enterprise terrorism, an offense punishable by 3 years in prison. Who made that up, huh? Whew, Boy, do we have some strange lawmakers, huh? Prosecutors contend the defendants encouraged and in some cases planned attacks to intimidate the research company Huntington Life Sciences, its clients or associates. Huntington uses thousands of animals, including rats and dogs and monkeys, to conduct product safety tests each year for clients, primarily pharmaceutical and chemical manufacturers. The company is based in London, but performs most of the tests here in the good old United States, where nobody would complain, where nobody would dare complain except these pacifist animal rights people. In 1999, opponents formed SHAC, Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty, and vowed to shut down the company. The indictment contends the group posted an online list of top 20 terror tactics that encouraged attacks, threatening letters and phone calls, email bombs to crash computers. Oh, email bombs now are terrorists. Now, email bombs to crash computers and whatever. Okay. Look, I guess we're going to run out of Al-Qaeda soon, so we need somebody to fill the jails, and I suppose animal rights activists qualify. This case is about First Amendment practices in the 21st century, the use of modern technology, the freedom to use websites to speak for any cause, said Andrew Erba, a Cherry Hill attorney who said he has represented civil rights groups before. Erba said he expected to represent Kevin Jonas, 26, who calls himself president of SHAC USA. So there you go. Free speech issues on behalf of the animals. How are we doing on time? Oh, still got a little time here. Oh, this was out of Out of Web India, huh? Veteran singer Paul McCartney's obsession with vegetarian food is not finding favor with meat-loving Norwegians. Local roadies in Norway are reportedly upset with McCartney's catering demands as he tours through Norway. According to to rate the music, the vegetarian rock star has banned his staff, both full and part-time, from eating meat. Oh, there's finally somebody for whom I can work. I can be employed by Paul McCartney. One hungry and angry worker on the McCartney tour has spoken out about the former Beatles' meat ban. "It's completely crazy," he says in a quote here. "We're supposed to work from 8 till 8 each day and aren't served anything but salad and vegetarian food," he said. "I can't live without meat doing this kind of work, and I will defy the ban and bring my own lunch packet with meat," another worker said there in Norway. Isn't it good if Norwegian wood? Isn't it good, Norwegian wood? Beatles song? Wouldn't it be good if Norwegian wood go vegetarian? Wouldn't it be good if the Norwegian would go vegetarian as McCartney's roadie, huh? But stop your blubbering, would you? I wish this guy would just stop his blubbering. And actually, well, Norway is blubbering along with Japan and Iceland. For the first time in history, all have whalers on the seas with their harpoons trained on the world's largest marine mammals. This is the first time ever we've been in this situation. The International Fund for Animal Welfare campaigns around the world to end whaling and promote responsible whale watching as a humane and sustainable alternative. But Japan's whaling fleet left the harbor to hunt 150 minkies, 50 brides, 50 sei, and 10 sperm whales. Norway, 340 minkies from a quota of 670 have been killed so far in the North Atlantic. And well, this is going on because these people have a real taste for blubber, you know, and I wish they would just stop their blubbering and, you know, maybe it would be good for them to work for Paul McCartney and, you know, have a few vegetarian meals. The northern white rhino, one of the world's rarest and most endangered animals, could be extinct in the wild within months unless poaching by Sudanese rebels stops. Conservationists said as they launched an appeal for funds last month. This again from the Star Ledger. The world's 25 or so remaining wild white rhinos all live in the Garamba National Park, a United Nations World Heritage Site on the northern border of the Democratic Republic of Congo, formerly Zaire, that on the border with the Sudan. And also a lot of problems there for the elephants, hippos, buffalo, and chimpanzees living there. The UN Cultural Heritage Body UNESCO runs a project to protect wildlife from the effects of violence in the Congo, which is struggling to emerge from a devastating five-year regional conflict that has killed at least 3 million people, mostly from starvation and disease. Why does anybody have to starve when, if all the grain fed to animals in the United States were just diverted to people? There's no reason for starvation in the world. All we have to do is go vegan. Okay, we will continue. We will discuss the plight of the seals in La Jolla. That, gosh, was one of my favorite places to visit when I was living in San Diego. And we will continue momentarily on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the planet's first and only commercial vegan radio show. And let's see. You know, my friends monitor the show. They listen. They tell me if certain weeks I sound more desperate than others asking for money. It's like, ooh, you sounded too desperate asking for money the last time, last week, okay? So, hey, what do I care if you send in any money, huh? Who cares if there's a vegan radio show? Are you going to do one? Well, if you want one to be on the air, send in some money. You know, $10. If all listeners sent in $10, I bet we'd cover the cost of paying for these shows for months at a time. Don't leave it to somebody else. Look at all these other stations having their major campaigns. I don't have time for a major campaign. No, 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 no. Okay, we will continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I'm always talking about how delicious Veggianaise is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Veggianaise. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Veggianaise? Or a tofu burger with Veggianaise? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Veggianaise in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Veggianaise in a book about stroke prevention. Yet, there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Webers, MD, Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veggianaise, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere. And it's another sunny day in Southern California, and you've got the power to go solar, ready to make things brighter for the environment, reduce fossil fuel usage and emissions, and global warming greenhouse gases. It's time for your home and business to go solar with Sunergy Solar. Visit SunergySolar.com. Hurry, save big. The 45% rebate program is about to end. You want to take advantage of that, right? You want to protect yourself from future utility rate hikes, and wouldn't you really rather own your power instead of renting it? Well, financing your system can be cheaper than your current utility bill, and there are ways to make things happen without any out-of-pocket expenses. So get details at 866-SUNERGY, 866-786-3749. It's a brighter day for everyone when your home and business are solar-powered. Contact Sunergy Solar at SunergySolar.com. Authorized Sharp dealer wherever you are in Southern California, including all of the L.A. and San Diego areas. That number again, 866-SUNERGY.
Milk has blood in it. It's a great drink for vampires.
Isn't that the truth? Okay, so, I want to mention what you're doing on July 31st. You will be joining us for a wonderful day, a Midsummer Day's Dream of Peace. VeggieQ. We will have vegetarian food as we gather and discuss issues related to animals, children, and the environment. We will have great speakers and music going. It's like a matinee day from noon to 5 p.m., and that is Saturday, July 31st, noon to 5, and we will be in Venice at the United Methodist Church, which is on Lincoln at Victoria. People there know it as a gathering place for peace activism, and a lot of the arts in the community happen at that location. We hope to see you there that day. Lots of great vegan food. Suggest a donation, $5 or $10. We'll be screening the new PETA video, which is Chew on This, and we will also be screening the documentary, the wonderful documentary, Peaceable Kingdom. So we hope to see you there then at that time. And right now, I want to talk about some of my special favorite friends in La Jolla. I lived in San Diego. I was the program director of 98.1 KIFM for a while and spent a lot of time visiting the seals on the beach in La Jolla. And a couple of years back, again, living in San Diego, I worked in La Jolla. I was there every day. It's to me, it is the treasure of San Diego. It's the only little wild San Diego left. And it seems like the seals there in this very unusual colony are under constant attack. I don't know why that would be. Now, you would expect me to be interested and wanting to help protect them and defend them, because you think of me as, a vegan, and therefore I must be an animal-hugging hippie, right? So today, let us talk to somebody who may not exactly qualify in those terms. We're going to talk to James Hudnall. Jim was a geology major, in fact, worked at the Scripps Institution Geology Research. He was at the U.S. Navy Anti-Submarine Warfare as an officer, destroyer duty during the Vietnam War, and a lot of research work with whales, received National Geographic funding for underwater cinematography for the Great Whales, which received Emmy recognition. He was the first to discover singing humpback whales underwater. So a lot of research going on, and Jim now is very interested in what's going on with the seals. He has worked with the La Jolla Friends of the Seals and Save Our Seals Coalition. Welcome, Jim. How are you?
Hi, Bob. I'm good. I forgot to tell you that I was a beach hippie back in the late 60s up in Canada, too.
Please.
I just want you to know I've had a lot of fun with a number of different things in life, and seals are my major concern right now, especially the La Jolla Harbor Seal Rookery.
Mm-hmm. And tell us, for those of us who don't even know that we have a harbor seal rookery, what is it? What is a harbor seal rookery?
Well, harbor seals, first of all, I should say harbor seals are not sea lions, because a lot of people get them mixed up. And harbor seals are not the ones that bark. Harbor seals are not the one that have little ear flaps. Harbor seals have sweet, rounded faces, and they inch along the beach like giant inchworms, and they're totally quiet except for the baby harbor seals, which cry out, "Ma, Ma," when they get separated from their moms.
Aww.
So down here in La Jolla, we have always had some harbor seals, but by the 1920s, harbor seals generally along the California coast had been hunted so much that it was estimated there were only several hundred harbor seals between the Oregon border and the Mexican border. However, since the Marine Mammal Protection Act, harbor seals have, of course, been protected like all marine mammals along our coast. And the harbor seal population has bounced back to the point where we now have in La Jolla a harbor seal rookery on a beach called Children's Pool Beach, which has a seawall on the outer edge of it. And we have upwards of 130 seals on the beach during the pupping season, which is about the 1st of February through the middle of April. This time of year, we're still getting large numbers of seals on the beach in the early morning and in the late afternoon, and these seals are molting this time of year. The pups have grown up, gotten fat, been weaned, and are off on their own now.
Mm-hmm. What's a rookery?
Well, a rookery is a place where harbor seals haul out to rest and relax and reoxygenate and warm up, which they need to do, and also to give birth and nurse their young. And in the case of giving birth, they prefer to give birth on land. They nurse their young on land a great deal of the time, and it's absolutely essential that harbor seals have a safe place to do this.
Is this rare to have a rookery so close to a human population?
Well, yes, it is. It's very special. Normally, harbor seal rookeries are away from our human public. And the reason they are is that harbor seals are generally very shy. In your average harbor seal rookery, whether it be in the wilds of Canada or the wilds of Baja California, as soon as a human looms up on a harbor seal's horizon, boom, the harbor seal is gone into the water and out of sight. But in La Jolla, the harbor seals have adjusted to human presence, perhaps out of desperation, actually, for a place to haul out. And so they lie on this beach with people viewing them from as close as 12 feet away on the top of the seawall and from behind a guideline rope at the back of the beach and from the sidewalk on the bluff side of the beach. So it's the best harbor seal watching on the Pacific coast. And in fact, it's the only place where people can see harbor seals close up without the seals fleeing into the water.
It's a major tourist attraction in itself, isn't it?
It is a major tourist attraction, but I think more importantly, the seals are doing two other very, very important things for us besides giving us this great pleasure in recreational seal watching. First of all, the harbor seals are really oceanic farmers, and because they feed offshore and defecate inshore, they're actually moving nutrients from offshore to inshore, which feeds all of the little invertebrates, the scavenger species, and on up the food chain, which makes our ocean ecosystem very rich, loaded with things like lobster and fish and all of those kinds of things that some of us humans still eat.
Mm-hmm. And not for long if they listen to the show, but okay.
That's right. And the other thing that these harbor seals do for us is they act as mineshaft canaries for us, because as long as we have a healthy, happy harbor seal population here in La Jolla, we can be relatively sure that the water is safe for human swimmers. And in fact, we do have a healthy, happy seal population here. If they knew what the city of San Diego had planned for them, they might not be so happy, however.
And what does the city have planned? And we have probably about 3 or 4 minutes, so I want to make sure we get to everything and call people to action, too.
Okay, well, the city of San Diego has recently planned to dredge the harbor seals beach away and get rid of the harbor seals, throwing out the baby with the bathwater. And this is coming up for discussion and vote before a committee of the San Diego City Council on Wednesday, June 23rd, 9 a.m. And at that time, people have an opportunity to speak their piece. And before that, they have an opportunity to let the various council members on that committee know how they feel about having harbor seals and protecting harbor seals. And I would strongly urge all of your listeners to fax letters to Council Member Donna Fry, that's F-R-Y-E, at 619-236-7329.
One more time on the fax number to Donna Fry?
Fax number for Donna Fry, 619-236-7329. Or email her at Donna Fry, that's one word, D-O-N-N-A-F-R-Y-E, at sandiego.gov. The reason I suggest Donna is that Donna has always been one of the most reasonable voices on the San Diego City Council, and she loves the seals. So if your listeners speak out to her, she will carry the message to the other council members during the Wednesday, January 23rd meeting.
And again, you're urging people to come to the this Wednesday's meeting.
It's a wonderful opportunity to come and speak. The time for speaking is limited to 2 or 3 minutes, but the real decisions are often made beforehand, so it's especially important for people to communicate with the council members on this Natural Resources Committee prior to the meeting, and that's why I'm urging that letters be faxed or that Donna Fry be emailed. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the fax letter carries more weight. The politicians downtown are telling me now they're starting to discount emails because they're getting so many of them. Isn't that a shame? Just as we all start using email as a major form of communication.
Right, yeah. So, Gene, I spoke on behalf of the seals many years ago in front of the city council, and I thought the issue was resolved, but they, you know, something so beautiful, we have to chase them away. We have to kill them. We have to get rid of it. It's weird.
Well,
why?
You know,
why are we...
Yeah, in 1999, the same dredging issue came up, and the public overwhelmingly told the council to forget about it, and the council decided not to dredge the beach and, in fact, put up the guideline rope at that time.
Mm-hmm. So, and with a minute and a half left, why do people want to get rid of the seals? I mean,
the reason that San Diego wants to get rid of the seals, they want to return this 180 lineal feet of sand to swimming beach usage. And the reason they want to do that is one politician who represents La Jolla District. His name is Scott Peters, and he has a few rather elitist La Jolla constituents who have been pressing him for quite a while, and who knows how much money they're pressing into his hands also, given the way things are with our city council members, some of them these days. But in any case, it's a very small minority of people right mm-hmm. here in La Jolla who are urging the removal of these seals.
Well, seals don't have the choice they're sea animals. They need the beachfront area, and there's enough swimming, I think, from the Mexican border to the Canadian border for people. So we hope listeners will come out to the meeting this coming Wednesday and speak out on behalf of the seals. We need to preserve our treasure here. It's so rare. Thanks so much for being with us today, Jim.
It's my pleasure, Bob. Nice to talk to your listeners.
Okay, a pleasure. Okay, thanks for listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Please send money. I need your tax-deductible donation. P.O. Box 220025, Newhall, California, 91322. Thanks for listening, and go vegan. Stop eating animals.